But Brother Watt, if you'll come and present your ministry to us or give us an update and then preach the word.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Pastor. Sawadee krap. And again, I would like to say thank you for having us back here. This is the third time, but after so many years. We were here in 2017, and then we came the 18s. This is amazing to be back and see our people here. You know, when you serve the Lord and you know that He leads you to from one place to another, you know that He's always put His people there to fellowship and encourage one another. Well, some of you who may not know me or like came after we came a few years ago, I would like to share a little bit about myself. As you can tell, my accent's probably not from around here. So I'm Thai. I'm from Thailand. And I was Buddhist at the age of 17. I come to know the Lord as my Savior. Before we play the video presentation, I would like to share with you guys a little bit about this most important people who bring me to the point, and the Lord brought me to the point where He called me to into ministry. But there was a key person who take so much part of this calling. In 2002, I pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior in May. I believe it was the third week of May that year. I decide without asking my dad. Well, I asked him once, and he was not happy with what I'm about to do. The first time I asked him, I said, "Dad, I want to follow Jesus Christ." And Buddhists, in Buddhism, when what they believe, a man who died terribly has a lot of sin. So when he look at Jesus Christ, and he also point to him and told me, "A man who died like that, you want to follow him?" And that was a no for me the first time I asked him. But I went back to church, and I find out the most precious news, I cannot resist to take it. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross for His sin. He died on the cross for my sin. So I decide, I'm not going to tell my dad this time. In that year, that month, I said, "Lord, I need You. I want You to be my Savior." I went back to church on Friday and tell the missionary who worked there in Bangkok that I'm saved and I am going to call my dad. But this time not asking. This time it's telling him that I already made a decision to follow Christ. I call him and I told him, "Dad, I'm a Christian now." And he was mad. See, in Thai culture, 95% of Thai are Buddhists. Most of them may not know what they believe, but it's more like a proud thing. You are Thai, you should be Buddhist. If you decide otherwise, you want to choose the other path, then you're acting like a betrayer of the country and to a family. So that night, my dad disowned me. He said, "You choose Jesus, you have to choose between Jesus or me. If you choose Jesus, don't come home to see me. You're not my son anymore." At that point, I look at the Lord. I ask, "Lord, this is what I get. You turn my dad into my enemy. How can this be a good news to me?" Well, we are easily forgetting what God have done for us, didn't we? It's like the voice saying, you just said you love him. Because when Dad said, don't call me Dad, I said, Dad, I love you. I don't want to lose you. And it's like the voice said you love him. Who will be the best person to tell him about me? If you love him, you have to share this good news with him. And you are the best person to share the good news to your dad. I said, okay. My dad stopped talking to me for 6 months in 2002. So I shared with him my decision in May. And it took him until December. He sent my mom to Bangkok. Got on the bus, 9 hours away from this capital city of Thailand, from my hometown, coming to Bangkok to attend a Christmas outreach or get together at our church in Bangkok. That was her first time going to church. Well, my mom just says, okay, whatever you're doing, I'm okay. So she had no problem coming to church at all. So she came before my dad. But that Christmas, my first Christmas after I got saved, my mom brought so many things from my hometown. The things that she cooked, my favorite snacks, homemade, you know, always good when you put that word in front of the food. But she said, this is from your dad. He wanted you to know that he's okay with who you are right now. Well, I understand as a dad, he's worried that somebody might have brainwashed me. And so many people in his, like his sister and his brother kind of telling him all kinds of negative thing about going to church, and church people like to convince many to their side. And they even say they probably put something in the water and what just take a sip of water and got brainwashed. So, but it took him about 6 months, and he realized, well, he must be serious. Even though I disown him, and he still choose to walk that path. The night of the month of May 2002, that's when the Lord called me into ministry. God said, if you love someone, you need to share the best thing you know to that person, no matter the cost. And when you come to know the Lord, you have, I don't think it's only one person in your life that you love and care. You have more than one, for sure. But it begin with, should have the first one that you want to share Christ with them. I told my pastor then, this is my call. I want to go back to my hometown and preach the gospel there to my people, my family, my friends, the people who live in my hometown. I want to do that. I want to share with them. So after our deputation, we went back in 2019 and started a church. Well, we were helping our friends in a province near my hometown for a year, and then we moved to my hometown and start church from scratch, and you know, passing out track, inviting people to church, go visit friends and family and ask them if they want to know about Jesus Christ and worship the Lord with us. From 2019, so we move into 2020, we moved to our hometown, and COVID hits. It's hard to sharing with someone, even just to start talking with someone during that time. Stranger is like, no. Masks everywhere. The thing that you often forget, usually a phone, a wallet, a key. Now you, oh, I forgot my mask. Going to the store. They check everything before you even walk into the store, let alone try to talk to someone. But that year passed, it's gone, and then we come back to normal and get to do our ministry. during the first year there in Thailand, my mom got saved. But my wife, she just raised her hand, I forgot something important. My dad got saved in 2013, right before he passed away. Both him and my mom got hit by a truck on their motorcycle. My mom, they thought she was gonna die. But the person that the Lord allowed him to go home was my dad. My mom at the time was not saved. Even though the doctor said she's gonna die, she was not. The Lord gave her a chance in October of 2019, she got saved. And I'm thankful for that. She's showing her faith by all the idol in her home. She get rid of it. But she don't want to do it by herself. She's like, you take care of it. Here, I'll put it in the back for you. So I take care of those idol, and I ask the pastor, friends around, like, how can I destroy this thing? And they said, well, the best way is to just smash it to dust and stuff. So I did to all of them. What I found inside those idol was a bag. I think it was a chicken feed or chicken food. What they feed the chicken. It's a bag that they use inside that idol. I called my mom right away. I was like, Mom, you know what you have been worshiped for many years? A chicken food. And she was laughing. But I'm thankful for that. See, it begin from first, you have to start with someone, right? Sharing Christ, and no matter the cost, they will look at your life and they will make a decision on their own. But I'm thankful that my dad come to know the Lord before it's too late, and also my mom. But there's, during the year, which we will show in our video presentation, my cousin also come to know the Lord as her Savior. So in the video presentation, we'll tell you about our turning point where we will move to another province when we go back next year to start a ministry, a province 3.5 hours away, which this is a place where people from my hometown move in. So every time we go to this province and we talk to some people, it's like, oh, I'm from Sisaket. It's like, why are you guys keeping moving away from me? So many came to that town. There's a lot of opportunity, college there. People who came to Hukan and come to our church ending up moving out because they find a job. The job didn't pay enough, so they move away. The teenage came. We thought, oh, this is going to be the man that I'm going to train and, you know, be the pastor, and then we will move out. It's not like that. It's transcend city. People move in and move out. Kids grow up and move to the big town for college and job opportunity. So it's like we've been praying, Lord, if you want us to stay here, show us. If you want us to move, show us. And he did. He showed us. And the detail will be our video presentation. And I think now we're ready. And after the video, I will take questions. All right? Sawadee krap. We are so glad to have the opportunity to update you on our work in Thailand. It's been quite a journey since we began our ministry in 2019. That same year, our youngest child, Corey, was born, and we were excited to expand our family while also serving the Lord in Prasad. taking care of another missionary's church while they were on furlough.
Of course, like so many others, the pandemic made things challenging for us. But we continued to trust in God and His plan for our ministry. We felt called to plant a church in the district of Kukan, and in April 2020, we moved and started Kukan Baptist Church. During our 3 years there, we were blessed to see two souls accept Christ as Savior and follow the Lord in believer's baptism, Watt's mom and his cousin. Watt had the opportunity to baptize two of our daughters and his mom at the same time, which was an incredibly special moment for our family.
We held services and outreach efforts for more than 2 years, but unfortunately, we didn't really see any response. After much prayer, seeking counsel from our pastor, and asking for God's guidance, we believed that it was time for us to move on from Kukan.
Leaving Kukan was something we didn't think would happen for many years. But as we prayed about it, we knew with certainty that God was telling us it was time to move on. God led us to a Thai church we didn't know was in existence, with a pastor and group of believers that love the Lord and has welcomed Watt's mom, aunt, and cousin into their church family. Moving to a new city will be bittersweet, as we dearly love the people and town of Kukan, but we feel at peace knowing that God has a new plan for us. Once we return to Thailand, we will begin the process of moving to a new city and beginning a new work in Nakhon Ratchasima province. We are excited for the future and all that God has in store for us. Those who have read our prayer letters or follow us on Facebook know that we have been praying for a long time for another family to partner with us in our ministry of reaching Thai people with the gospel of Christ. We are excited to share that God has answered that request with our longtime friends, Matt and Courtney Jones, and their family. God has intertwined our families for the past 16 years, and we are excited that God has now brought our families together to share the love of Christ in a new city.
It's an exciting time for us, and we have a bright hope for the future of Thailand. We are so grateful for your continued prayers and support, and we look forward to sharing more updates with you soon. Thank you. And God bless.
Sounds bad, but I might have forgot. My family. I'm here with my family. My wife Amanda. We met in Thailand in 2008, and. Now we are serving the Lord together with four kids. Pray for our family, especially our kids when life on the move. They don't like moving, and me neither. I don't like moving, packing stuff, moving to another place. But they are excited to see our future of me and the Joneses family. Sharing Christ in this town, and they're so sad to see, to hear the goodbye that they have to deal with, that they have to deal with all the time. Sorry, English. My mother-in-law already, you know, cries. I don't know how many times, knowing that it's coming close, but. It's hard for the kids, but they're so thankful that they get to serve the Lord with us, and we just need to pray for them as, you know, the times come and we have to pack up and move back to Thailand, and even move from the home we have in Thailand to another place and do God's work there. So I'm grateful for my family. You know, they always there and pray for me and
support me as I share in Christ to Thai people. And pray that they will learn Thai and able to speak Thai like better, so they can enjoy having friends and even sharing their friends about Christ. They sharing them in English, which sometimes the Thai kid doesn't really get what they're trying to say. It says, "Oh, Jesus loves you," and the Thai kid is like, "What? What do you mean?" So I have the opportunity to translate for my kids and telling all those Thai kids about Jesus Christ. So please keep them in your prayer as we going back and move another times. Hopefully, for sure, one day we don't have to move again. Right? It will be permanent. So any question before we start our message? Yes, Pastor.
I just was curious, because you're a national, when you went over there, you're ministering in the town basically where you grew up.
Yes, sir.
What were some of the benefits and advantages of that, and what were some of the temptations and the disadvantages of it, and what do you foresee will be the benefits and advantages of your going back to a place in Thailand that you're not very familiar with, that you didn't grow up?
So the pro is that I'm comfortable living in my hometown. I know the place. I know the location. I know most people, especially people who are in the authority. So I know a lot of them. If a problem happened, I can just, you know, call or tell someone about. The downside is that because they know me, they see my life. And Thai people everywhere, they are nice, very open. They will listen to you. They will sit and talk about things, but it's more like they try to be nice, try to be polite. We have a few that almost make a decision, but often I would kind of talk to them and kind of being serious a little bit and ask them to count the cost. Then every one of them back out. I want them to know from my experience, the day I told my dad, it broke my heart to lose someone because I'm following Christ. But the good news is God could save that person too. But they don't know. So they want to go to heaven. That's all they want. And then when I say, hey, if you follow Christ, these people in your life may disown you. If you're willing to risk that for the Lord, you can pray and ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior today. You can pray at home. You can pray now. But this going to happen. You have to trade everything in your life for the Lord. If He is worthy, you can pray today. Almost every one of them backing out and say, okay, maybe tomorrow. But it's never happened. But to my family, my mom who came to know the Lord, and my cousin, I was there with them most of the time. So she kind of see the difference between my family and people around me. And I see them quite often. So that advantage for her is that, what he teach match his lifestyle. And she see that almost every day for my mom, but my cousin, you know, maybe less than that. And that brought her to the point where if I want to be with my son and my grandkids and my daughter-in-law, I need to know their Lord. If I want to see my husband again, I need to know Jesus Christ. The downside is the culture pressure. And it happened anywhere, not only in my hometown, the pro, the upside maybe is that advantage is that I know the place, I'm so comfortable. But most of the time when you get so comfortable, it negative, too comfortable, and then it's like, okay, I can get by this. We oftentimes have to kind of do something different to change a little bit. We get so comfortable doing this thing, it's like, okay, we're going to try something else. So we're reaching out in the community near our home, and then we have to go to a place further away from our home, and maybe doing some class. You know, we wanted to have as many people come to the church and learn about Jesus Christ. We're trying outreach, and we're trying offer a free class, teaching them English and stuff. There's no response except the family of mine. I go do visitation, talking to people, all those vendors near our church building. They're so nice and so kind, but they're not ready to make a decision. I can tell them all day about Jesus Christ, but they would not make a decision. I try to see them every week. Hopefully they would, you know, open the conversation, and then I can start telling them. Still no response. It come to the point where I'm so burned out. We need someone to come and work with us and encourage us, and not just our family. And we've been praying for that for many years, and the Lord answered the prayer. But that family, the Jones family, said, we may have to move to another town. But that it was last year, and I said, we're not ready. Would you pray with us? I don't want to leave Kukan, my hometown, knowing that I gave this town 100%. So I asked them to pray with us, and we're doing an outreach again. We're going out and pass invitation, and even do another class of English and invite people to come. No response, zero. So at the end of last year, it's like, okay, it's 84%. I like saying that. Not 100%, because we have my mom and my cousin. What are they gonna do? I asked my mom if she wants to move with us. She said she doesn't want to. She said she's still healthy and she loves this town. I was like, okay. Then we asked God another request to secure our decision to move to another place, to find a church for my mom. Ending up a week after, a pastor from that church who is from Kukan, also from Kukan. Kukan is his hometown too, but he moved his church out from the city, 5 kilometers away, it's like only 10-minute drive, because of his mom's health. And his mom passed away a few years ago, and he ended up doing a church in the countryside, not in the city. That's why we don't see any church in the city. But God's timeline is so perfect. We found his church, but we want to make sure they teach, they have the same-minded belief. I went to his church and hear him preach. I was like, Lord, I praise you. Thank you, Lord. But I want to make sure my mom's okay. So I bring my mom and my cousin back the next Sunday. And after that Sunday, I asked, okay, mom, do you like this place? She said, I love it. Are you kidding me? So it's like a kilometer walk from her home. She can walk from her house to this church within 5 minutes. So I said, okay, Lord. It is 100% now. Thank you for give us an assurance. So we're ready to move. but our kid was not. We've been praying and asking them and, you know, talk to them about the pro and the con and the good thing about moving and stuff. And they ending up, okay, we started to like the idea. But they still need to adapt and adjust their life there, and us too. So I don't know if that answers your question, Pastor. Moving to this town would be, yes, uncomfortable because it's not my place. I'm going to see really a stranger in a town that have a different culture, more busy in traffic, in, you know, many people there, but there are so many opportunity. And that lead to another prayer request. I would like to see a Thai family, just one Thai family who is already a Christian in that town, will come and join our church. And that will give us some momentum, some motivation. We already have a core believer to begin our ministry there. And then pray for more to come. But at least one Thai family that will join our church in this town. So we're going to move 3.5 hours away to this town and do our ministry there. So any question? Could be anything.
What's your biggest obstacle with trying to get people to accept Christ over Buddhism? It's just the family disowning them?
Yes, it's more like a culture pressure, a peer pressure and stuff. Their friends, their family. Their friend wouldn't do much. They might joking around and making fun, like my aunt, who keep telling my dad about me going to church, brainwashed, all those stuff. She's the one that told me that my dad got saved. That's one of the things I didn't share. When my dad passed away, I thought he wasn't saved. My aunt, the one that joking around my dad and my family all the time about what I believe, she called the next day and she said, "Do you prefer a Buddhist funeral or a Christian funeral?" And I was so mad to hear that kind of, you know, why would you even suggest that? You know, my dad was not saved. She said, no. He was working for me 2 weeks ago, and I was joking around, teasing him, asking him, because he spent a lot of time with you guys. So I was like, oh, you probably follow your son's God, you know, something like that, trying to joke around him and make him feel mad, you know, something like sister tried to tease the brother. My dad was mad and told her, "I'm a Christian now." That's what I heard from my aunt, who making fun of my dad and my family. There's a family, a pressure from family, which is the main things that stop people from come to know the Lord. As a Thai Buddhist man, especially if you are the oldest son, you have to become a monk for the family. They would say your mom and your dad can go to heaven because an oldest son become a monk. And they would take that deeds that the son become a monk who sent parents to heaven. So I'm the oldest. So that's already hard, and that's why my dad was so mad. And every man's Thai man would have to take that duty. So it's like you left that responsibility because you just want to follow this God of a foreign country. Because Thai people would say, "Oh, that's an American religions. Why would you want to follow that?" But in fact, they didn't really study Buddhists. It's not originated in Thailand. So it's from somebody. They brought this in, but it's, I don't want to like cause any more trouble because they already don't listen. But the point where I come to know the Lord happened because the person that told me about Jesus Christ living their life according to
the word that they sharing with other people. You can tell people all you want, Jesus loves you. But if they don't see that in you, they will not change. They would not want anything. Because it's you like you living your life like a different person. So spending time with them make a lot of difference. You see in the video, there's a casket when we talk about COVID hits, and there was a casket that was burning. It was my friend's dad. I went to the funeral, and I went to him, and I said, hey, sorry for your loss. Is there anything I can do? But he's like, thank you for being here. Sometimes showing up, you already show something to the people that you're sharing Christ with. So I can stay in the state. It's very nice and comfortable. And call people in Thailand and send them letters. Send them a video and sharing them about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it would not make a difference because they cannot see God that you cannot see. But they can see God in you who claim Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's why I thank you for sending missionary to those countries and make a difference there. Pray. We need a lot of pray for Thai people. After COVID hits, that's a wake-up call, I believe. But still, many people just doesn't care. Pray that they would care. The Lord might send another one, harder. I don't want that to happen. Pray that they will change their heart before it happened again, another hits or another wake-up call. Does that answer your question, brother? Yes, sir. Okay. I think we might have about 10 minutes for our lesson. It's not... The message today, I think pretty much what I share with you already. I was talking about home, how our kids don't like moving. But here in the book of John, if you have your Bible, John chapter 14, Jesus told his disciple before he going to Jerusalem to be crucified. Last year, when we found in 2020, when we found out my mother-in-law going to move their home from Tennessee to Northern Virginia, it was like, what are we gonna do when we come back to the state? Our home church is in Greenville, Tennessee. Now we don't have anything there. What are we gonna do? So I was worried, pretty much like I cannot do anything that day at all, but. It's 2020, so we plan our furlough in 2021. That's just like a long way, right? So we keep praying until last year. My father-in-law said, don't worry about your home. We have a place for you. They plan to retire in Tennessee, so they bought a camper because they want to build a home in Tennessee, so they prepare, okay, we can buy a camper and live there while building the house. So they bought a camper ahead so we can use it. So now we're living in a camper parking in the church parking lot, Central Baptist Church, Greenville, Tennessee. So that is something I never imagined that it would happen. The camper looked so much better than a tent. But it's a good experience to stay in a place like that and have room, so many room. My pastor called it a mansion. What an Amanda mansion in the church parking lot. So it's so good to hear that on the phone when my father-in-law said, don't worry, we have a place for you. Now in this chapter that I was gonna share with you, Jesus prepared his disciples, prepared their heart
of what's going to happen. He told them many times that he's going to die. But before he went from them to the cross, this is the phrase, the encouraged statement that he told his disciple. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Don't worry. The disciple probably think, you said you're going to die. Now you tell us, don't worry. We deal with worry every day, especially this time where people can access to so many news, bad news. You know, that's what they sell people. You know, the people like hearing that, but it's add up to our worriness in our life. Jesus know. He told his disciple, don't let your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I love my father-in-law, and I know they love me. So when he say something, I trust him. That is a man's word, and I trust the man's word because I know that this man loved me so much. Now, this is the Savior saying this to his disciple. Don't worry. One day you will not have to move anymore. You may have moved from state to state, you know, maybe some country to the other. But one day, this place will be permanent. And it's not just a camper. Well, I have a master bedroom in this camper, but I have to share a bathroom with my kids. Every time I need to use the restroom in the middle of the night, I have to like tiptoe to the bathroom so I don't wake my kids up. The kids enjoy their bunk bed. We have a kitchen in there. We have a sink, we have water, we have air conditioning. I praise God for that camper. But this place is way better. Jesus said in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And you see later on in this chapter, Thomas asked, we don't know. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. I have a place for you. There's no other way, he said, only through him. And he confirmed that with what he did on the cross. The Bible doesn't say clear that how he prepared, but we see that is the way he prepared a place. You receive from him this promise by taking him into your heart. Ask him to be your Lord and Savior. And you will know for sure that there's a place for you. Nobody can take that place away from you. It's already ready up there. And he offers it to you and other people that you care. Your job is to tell them that, hey, there's a place for you too. Plenty of place at the Lord's table. Go and tell them. Come to his table. There's plenty of space. If you really care, tell them. It's ready for them. The good thing about going up there, there would have no pain, no tear. Thinking about my dad disowned me, that was a sad thing. It hurt my heart. I cry over it. That could be other thing that caused you, your heart to trouble and cry and hurt. Hurt so bad you want to just go away. But the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. One day, those tears will be gone, no pain, and you will be there forever. You will worship God forever. You may ask, can you do that forever? Just 1 hour on Sunday is already too much for somebody, right? Worship the Lord up there 24/7 forever? That'd be so boring. But think about what you enjoy and you don't want to stop doing it. Because up there, you will see Him face to face. You will not want to turn your eyes away from Lord Jesus. Like you see something so amazing, you are in awe. You don't want to close your eyes. We'll be up there and see Him face to face. And He will be your light. There shall not be darkness up there. You will enjoy it forever. Praising God, singing the song nonstop. And the thing you enjoy here, I'm pretty sure the Lord will allow us to enjoy up there, especially food. So I don't want to take so much time away from our fellowship. get to fellowship with the same people, the people that believe the same Lord and Savior is a whole level of blessing. But you know, one day we'll get to reunite with those people who gone ahead of us, get to see them and get to enjoy fellowship with all those angels. And most importantly, get to fellowship with our Lord and Savior face to face. I'm looking forward to that day. It's coming soon. I'm praying for many people that more would come to the Lord and get to be there with us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to see our people, the people that loves you, the people that praying for many souls to come to you and be saved. Lord, thank you so much for your love and care, your word that say, let not your heart be troubled. Help us to keep walking, knowing that this promise will come true, knowing that we are saved by your blood. Thank you for allowing us to have this eternal life that you already proved on the cross. You already show us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for allowing us to know you. Many people may already hear your name, but they don't know you as their Lord and Savior. I pray for them. We pray for them. Lord, wake them up. Lord, bring them to you. Help them to understand the need. Help them to brave enough to make decision that they will leave everything to follow you. Lord, thank you for a time of fellowship that we get to do here together on earth. But I'm thankful for and looking forward to that fellowship in heaven one day, that we will be there, fellowship with those that went ahead of us and get to see you. Lord, I pray and leave every person in our heart that we care about and want them to come to know you in your hand. Save them, Lord. Help them to come to you. Lord, I pray for Grace Baptist Church, the light that shine in this city, this town. I pray that it will shine bright, that people would see this light and come and want this light to be their light. Pray that they would use their life for others too. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.